Lord, the psalmist said, I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make us companions in fearing you and following you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Once again, I will ask you to join me in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. I'll be reading through verse 21, the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 21. Take care how you hear. This is Jesus' command in the parable of the sower and in the two stories that follow. Last week we described three bad soils and the solutions to these soils. The fertilizer of prayer is the solution to the soil of Satan. The fertilizer of readiness is the solution to the soil of struggle. And the fertilizer of fighting is the solution to the soil of success. Let's also remember that we should consider these stories from two perspectives. As we read them, we want to think about ourselves and about the people we know and love. We should also consider these stories with humility. Only God knows what he's doing in hearts. Only God knows what he will do in hearts. Now let's read these words again and discover how the good soil grows. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. And a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And when the ones on the rock, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Imagine you're taking a trip to an unfamiliar place. Perhaps you're traveling to a big city you've never been to before. Maybe a national park in a remote area. Maybe even another country. Well, in our day, what that means is that you will use your app, your map app, on your phone. you will keep your phone with you. You will program the app for every part of your journey. And you will follow those directions carefully. You don't want to get lost in an unfamiliar place. And you want to arrive safely at your destination. You want your app to tell you where not to go and where to go. The Christian life is something like this. It is a journey. If you know Jesus as Savior and if you follow him as Lord, you long to produce good fruit for God's glory today. You long to arrive safely in heaven tomorrow. You don't want the bad soil of Satan, the bad soil of struggle, or the bad soil of success in your heart or your life. Jesus speaks here of seeds falling on good soil and yielding 100-fold fruit. You, if you know Christ, want this for yourself. You want it for the people in your life. But how will it happen? Let's return to Jesus' explanation of the parable and the two stories following the parable. He gives us, you see, a warning for where not to go. And then he gives us a call for where to go. Well, Jesus' warning comes in the first story after the parable. Let's sum up the warning in two parts. The word exposes, and the word condemns. The word exposes. Verses 16 and 17, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What is it that is being exposed here? I think there are two reasonable possibilities. It could be the light of the gospel. God is not hiding his word. People will hear the word. It could also be the hearts of people. We can't hide our hearts from God. He knows them. If you think about it, the rest of the Bible teaches both realities. Even as Jesus speaks, he is preparing to bring the gospel to the nations. Jesus has lived. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus now reigns. The light of the gospel is given in the word. God is not covering it with a jar or putting it under a bed. We're called to speak it. People are called to hear it and to believe it. Some accept it, but others reject it. And that acceptance or that rejection reveals what is in the human heart. You can't hide your response to God's word in the gospel. You can't keep it secret. Either Jesus is Savior and Lord or he is not, and God knows your heart. You see, the word exposes. The word exposes the gospel to us, and then the word exposes our hearts as we respond to the gospel. It exposes the gospel to us, and then it exposes our hearts. When I was young, I used to read verses like this and think, oh no, when I die, I'm going to go somewhere, and God's going to pull out a big projector, you know, kind of like the projectors our teachers used in school back in the 70s and 80s. And he's going to get a movie reel out, and he's going to spool it around, and he's going to play a movie reel of my life. And everybody's going to be able to see everything I ever did in my life. I don't think that's what Jesus is telling us here. I think it's actually maybe a little worse. He's revealing a God who reveals the gospel and a God who reveals our hearts. The word exposes God's gospel and our hearts. And yet Jesus isn't done. The word not only exposes, the word condemns. Jesus' words show not only that it exposes, but that the word condemns. Listen to the words of verse 19. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. What's being taken away here? Well, it would seem that it's the blessings that we should receive from the word. I say that because of what Jesus said back in verse 10. The disciples ask about the parable, and Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. The word is spoken, and for some it is a path to understanding, but not for all. For some the clouds part, everything becomes clear. Jesus' words make sense. God gives them the sense to believe in Jesus. But for others, the fog rolls in, and they can't hear or accept the truth of the word. And now Jesus seems to be saying this cycle will continue. Perhaps you've had the word. In one way or another, the seed has been spread in the soil of your heart. But the soil is bad. Satan or struggle or success lure you away from Jesus. Eventually, Jesus is saying this path will become permanent. In this life, you may be worse off after hearing the word because you've turned so far from it. And in the life to come, you will be worse off because you've rejected the word that would have resulted in the salvation of your soul. I recently read an article about a classic novel that maybe some of you have read called The Picture of Dorian Gray. In the early part of the story, a young man named Dorian sells his soul to Satan. The bargain works this way. A portrait of Dorian will grow old, but Dorian himself will remain forever young. Dorian leaves making this pact and pursues a morally corrupt life. He hurts and even destroys countless people. And eventually he goes back to the picture. And he's horrified by what he sees when he looks at himself in the picture as he gets older in the picture. And part of him wants to repent of his sin. But instead he falls into even deeper depravity. And by the end his soul is completely corrupted and he's destroyed. Take care how you hear. When you hear the gospel of Jesus, which you are doing this morning, the word exposes you. And the word may condemn you. When you reject Jesus, your soul is exposed and it's set on a path that will ultimately lead to your spiritual destruction. When you hear the word, you're responsible for your response to the word. When you hear the word, you are responsible for your response to the word. Will you feel the force of this warning this morning? You sit here, you've heard the word. You've heard the word that exposes you. You've heard the word that can condemn you. Listen to the word carefully. Hear and heed the warnings humbly, because the word can be taken away from you. My prayer is that the light of the gospel would shine into your heart. I pray it would transform your heart before you are exposed and condemned. Turn to Jesus as Savior. Worship Him as Lord now. So that is Jesus' warning. But in the midst of the warning, we hear Jesus call. Let me ask a couple of questions. What do we do? What is it that Jesus is calling us to do? How do we do it? What do we do? Well, Jesus' call is pretty obvious here. Hear and do. Hear and do. When you have taken care to hear, you will do what you have heard Jesus tell you to do. As the word is sown in the soil of a good heart, you will bear fruit by doing what Jesus calls you to do. That's what we see in the second story, isn't it? Jesus has been surrounded by these disciples and these crowds. And his mother and his brothers arrive on the scene, and they ask to see Jesus. Now, we have to be careful that we don't read what is not here. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I won't see them. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I want nothing to do with them. No, what he does here is he takes their presence and he uses it to teach the crowd something. He says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So what do? We hear and do. So what does it mean to hear and do? Once again, as I've done a few times, I want to use the help of Philip Ryken in his commentary on Luke to guide us through this. When you follow Jesus' call to hear and do, the first thing it means is that God comes first. If your devotion to Jesus comes first, sometimes you will have to displease your family or even distance yourself from your family in order to put his word into practice in your life. Here's a phrase you sometimes hear. It's a good American evangelical phrase. Are you ready? Family first. Family first. Now, it sounds good, doesn't it? And yes, our family should come before many other things. Family before work. Family before friends. Maybe sometimes even family before church if church threatens to crowd out the family. But be careful. Family first sounds so good, but it can be so wrong. It is so wrong when you defend your family member's sin. It is so wrong when you use your family as an excuse to neglect worship or fellowship or service in the kingdom. It is so wrong when you lead your family into following the idols of their hearts and the idols of the culture. When a family-first attitude compromises your faithfulness to Jesus and his word, you're not hearing and doing. Hear and do means God comes first. It also means God's family hears and does. God's family hears and does. Philip Ryken says we should always remember the beautiful doctrine of adoption. When you believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you are not just forgiven by God, you are welcomed by God into his family. You are now adopted as one of his children. Ryken says it this way, if we are children of God, then we must bear the family resemblance. If we are children of God, then we must bear the family resemblance. You demonstrate your membership in the family of God by hearing God's word and doing God's word. Think of the biological family again. If you say, I'm a member of this family, but you are never with your family and you never do anything for your family, are you really part of the family? You may be part of the family in name, but you're not part of the family in reality. You show you're a member of your biological family by acting as a member of the family, and you show you are a member of the family of God by hearing the word and doing the word. So what do? This is Jesus' call. Hear and do. God comes first. And if you're in the family of God, you hear and you do. So how do it? I think of John Ford. John was a family friend and an elder in my previous church. He's with the Lord now. John became a pretty successful businessman, but in his heart, he was just a simple country boy from southern Indiana. And he used to get mad at preachers, sometimes me. He would say, "Don't just tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. Don't just tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it." He was right. Jesus says, hear and do. How do it? I think Jesus' words lead us to answers. Hearing and doing begins with your affections. Jesus uses the image of family here. He knows we love and serve our families because our families are central to our affections. It's so simple, we can miss it. You serve whomever and whatever you love. You serve whomever and whatever you love. If you love a person, you serve that person. If you love a thing, you serve that thing. You serve Jesus better as you love Jesus better. And so you want to serve Jesus by hearing and doing? Pay attention. Pay attention to your affections. Have you ever been trying to drive your car? And you push the gas and you hear the engine purr or roar or clatter, but the car won't move. Then you look down and you realize, I've done this numerous times, that instead of putting the car into reverse or into drive, you've put it into neutral. Your car can be in neutral, but your heart is never in neutral. Your car can be in neutral, but your heart is never in neutral. The writer David Pallison said, we are never neutral. We are never static. We are never directionless. We are always in gear, always in motion, always heading somewhere. Where are you driving your affections? Are you driving them toward the corruptions of this world? Greed, materialism, pride, anger, sexual immorality? Are you driving your affections toward the distractions of this world? Video games, gambling, sports, social media, the trite and the trivial. The corruptions are sinful. The distractions sometimes are sinful and sometimes they're not, but they all drive your affections away from Jesus if you're not careful. You're never in neutral. With growing affection for the corruption and the distractions, you will not hear and do, but with growing affection for Jesus, your desire to love and serve Jesus will grow and you will more and more hear and do. Where are you driving your affections? Hearing and doing continues with your habits. In verse 15, Jesus briefly describes the good soil. He says, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What does it mean to hold it fast? The Greek word here gives us the English word catechism. Catechism. A catechism is full of truths that we learn in our minds and hold in our hearts. Just this week, I had a conversation with someone who talked about learning the catechism decades ago as a young person and how those truths still fill their mind and heart. When you hold something fast, you don't just hear it and discard it. You hear it, you hold it, you keep it close. And this is the habit of your heart and life. I just asked, what are your affections? What are your habits? If you will hear and do, you have to slowly but surely and steadily fill your heart and mind with the word. You want the words and the ways of the Lord to become such a part of you that the word flows naturally out of your heart and into your life. This happens when you make it a daily habit of learning the word yourself. When you have a regular habit of considering the word with other believers, and when you have a weekly habit of hearing the word with God's people. Now, to some of you, this sounds like legalism. Oh, you've got to do this. The pastor's telling me this stuff I got to do. No, it's not legalism. We're not trying to earn God's favor with this. We're not trying to keep God's favor with this. This isn't legalism. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. It's the wisdom of good habit. It's the wisdom of saying, if I am going to hear and do the word, I must form habits that help me to hold the word in my heart and to keep the word in my life. Where are you driving your affections, and are your habits helping you to hold and to keep the word? Hearing and doing continues then with your relationships. Jesus doesn't specifically mention relationships in these verses, but think about the way Jesus lived. He journeyed with his disciples. He journeyed with these people that Luke has introduced us to, these women who supported him and the disciples. How do you hold the word fast with an honest and good heart? How will you bear fruit with patience? Can you do it alone? Can you really hear and do the word without the encouragement and the exhortation of other people? Again, a simple image, it's like trying to move a big piece of furniture by yourself. You might be able to do it, but you know, by the time you're finished, the floor is scratched, and the door frames are damaged, and some part of your body hurts because you tried to do it alone. But when you get help, everything and everyone stays healthy. The writer to the Proverbs said, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. You and I become hearers and doers of the word as we sharpen others and as we let others sharpen us. In the members class I just mentioned earlier in the service, I discussed two levels of discipleship in the church. Level one, I believe, is this. It is gathered worship, hearing the word in a big group in the church. Level two discipleship comes in smaller settings. Sitting in Sunday school, going to a small group, being part of a journey group, maybe even one-on-one mentoring and what we call life-on-life discipleship. We all need level one, but I would argue that we all need some form of level two. See, hearing and doing is a community event. We hear and do as we help each other hear and do. Hearing and doing continues then with your endurance. Verse 15, Jesus speaks of people with the good soil as those who bear fruit with patience. The word here can be translated perseverance or endurance. You see, hearing and doing is not a one-time event. It's a lifelong practice. It's hard. It's hard to hear and do and keep on hearing and doing. Why is it hard? Because you get tired. You struggle in this world of sin and death. You just want to give up and give in, but in the strength of the Lord, you endure. Many of you know the name of William Wilberforce. He's known to history as the man who brought to an end the slave trade in Great Britain. He was a physically sickly man, and it was a long fight that took most of his adult years and ended right at the end of his life. And he once said, I daily become more sensible that my work must be affected by constant and regular exertions rather than by sudden and violent ones. My work must be affected by constant and regular exertions rather than by sudden and violent ones. We want to make a sudden and violent effort and solve all our problems. That's just the way we are as Americans. Make a big, sudden, violent effort, then all my problems are solved. It's just not the way God has made the world. Our efforts must be constant and regular, and it may be for a very long time. So you're striving to endure? God calls you to hear and do. Where are you tempted to give up on hearing and doing? Perhaps it's the challenge of living with a cantankerous relative or working for a fickle supervisor or resisting a recurring temptation or fighting through physical pain or serving in the name of Jesus in a spiritually lonely place. You want your affections, you want your habits, you want your relationships to help you to endure in hearing and doing. And that means we have to consider one more path to hearing and doing. One more how. Your prayers. Your prayers. Because it's tough to hear and do. because your affections and your habits and your relationships and your endurance are never perfect, you need to pray for the Savior to help you to hear and to do His word. I think it's difficult to do this. And you don't want to know why? I think it's difficult to do this because we as Americans are results-oriented people. We are results-oriented people. Prayers like this don't always produce immediate and obvious results. Think about it. If your arm hurts and you pray for your arm to feel better, you can get up in the morning and you can know whether or not your arm feels better. But what about your heart? What about your soul? What about your mind? What about your will? How can I measure if I am hearing and doing? Am I hearing the word and doing the word in this situation? Am I hearing the word and doing the word in that relationship? And if I hear and do today, will I hear and do tomorrow? How will I hear and do when struggle comes? It's hard prayer to offer, but it's vital prayer to offer. You pray for your body. Do you pray for your soul? You should come to Jesus each day with a holy dependence and a holy desperation. Rejoice! You have a Savior who will help you hear and do. He has shattered the guilt and the power of your sin by giving His life on the cross for you. He's given you the Holy Spirit to enable you to hear and do. He's called you brother or sister in the family of God. He's promised to never leave you or forsake you as you strive to love and serve Him by hearing and doing. And so pray. Pray and pray. Pray and pray. And pray. Some of you will recall the name of Andrew Brunson. Ring a bell? He is a pastor who was imprisoned in Turkey in 2016 on false charges, and he was not released until 2018. And during those years in prison, Andrew Brunson admits that he struggled, understandably. But he says he was helped by reading the words of a man who had spent 10 years in the former Czechoslovakia, imprisoned at the hands of the communists. And this man says, how did I survive prison? I kept my eyes on the Lord, and I kept my eyes on the Lord by worshiping and by praying and by pondering my Savior. Now look, you and I are probably never going to be in a prison like that. But we can become prisoners in prisons that we have made for ourselves. The idols of our hearts, the idols of our culture, they lure us and they capture us. And you live before a God whose word exposes you and can condemn you. But Jesus has come to free you from the guilt and power of sin. He calls you to hear and to do His word. And as you hear and do with right affections in your heart, with wise habits in your life, with healthy relationships in your church, with faithful endurance on your journey, and with consistent prayer to your God, you will hear and do and bear fruit 100-fold. You see, on the journey, God tells you where not to go. And He tells you where to go. Take care. How you hear. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, again, only You know the hearts of every person in this room. Who here needs to be exposed by the word that they may not be condemned? Who here needs to change their affections and their habits and their relationships that they may endure? All of us here need to pray for our souls. Oh Lord, help us to take care how we hear. Help us to take care how we hear. Help us to take care how we hear. I pray in Jesus' name.